evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and the rest of the East African region this Wednesday, July 17, 2024. South Sudan's Vice President calls on universities in the East African region to offer quality education.
These initiatives have led the establishment of new institutions, expansion of existing ones, and the development of new programs.
And former rebels of the SPLM-IO pull out of a peace talks.
We are not part of whatever that will be signed in the Tuamini, because it came to our attention that the sole purpose of the Tuamini initiative is supposed to be a complementary process to bring on board the holdout groups to the current peace process.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Inter-University Council for East Africa signed a partnership with South Korea's Chandong University and launched the East African Community Student Scholarship. South Sudan's Vice President for Service Cluster, Hussein Abdelbaghi Akol, is urging universities in the region to provide top quality education across East Africa. Viola Elias has more for VOA from Juba.
South Sudan is hosting the 15th Inter-University Council meeting for East Africa with hundreds of members of academia, university vice-chancellors and foreign partners convening in Juba. Hussein Abdelbaghi, South Sudan Vice President of Service Cluster, says the ability of students and scholarships to travel among East African universities is in line with the East African Treaty to Harmonize Education System across the region. Abdelbaghi says East Africa lacks enough high-quality education programs.
These initiatives have led the establishment of new institutions, expansion of existing ones, and the development of new programs, including devising new modes of delivery of academic programs.
At this meeting, the inter-university group signed a partnership agreement with South Korea's Kyongdong University and initiated the East Africa Community Students Scholarships to help students study in member countries. James Hotmai, South Sudan Minister of Labor and the Acting Minister of Higher Education, urges the Council and its partners to assess the curriculum and quality of technical educations.
And we have a time to sit down and try to see our curriculum. We have neglected technical school ticket. All of us here, not all of us, but most of us were colonies of British. Very long time ago, most of our schools were technical. But when we gain our independence, we turn those schools into academic schools, neglecting Tibet. Tibet is everything. I want you to really to reconsider our curriculum. See, because government cannot give job to thousands of children that they are waiting every year.
Malwala Tem attends the University of Juba and says a student faces difficulties applying for scholarships.
I really like this program, and I appreciate Inter-University Council for East Africa for coming up with this student mobility scholarship. So it is really good. We understand that we students really face a lot of challenges when it comes to acquiring knowledge and skills. It's really very hard. At some point, you don't get what you really expected at the end of the day. But at least this one will make us explore beyond within your country, but beyond other countries, and learn more practical skills.
Professor Gaspar Bayankembona, the executive director for the Inter-University Council, says the scholarship program is intended to ease the movement of students in the region. He says the council will expose countries to different educational systems within the region.
As Inter-University Council for East Africa, we are managing 5 scholarship programs. But believe me, all those 5 scholarship programs are project funded or donor funded. So they are limited in time. So we came to understand that through those scholarships, we are exposing countries to a different education system. If like a country like Burundi, for example, receive a student from South Sudan, then they will deal with his qualification. And once they manage to clear him and he get an opportunity to study there, then the country knows that the system, the education system of South Sudan, and it is opening up for other students that will come a bit late.
The theme for this year's 15th Inter-University Council for East Africa Conference is innovative leadership and governance approaches in higher education. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias reporting from Juba.
Still in Juba, South Sudan's holdout opposition, government delegation and civil society groups signed protocols on Monday for resolving conflict in South Sudan. SPLM-IO former rebels have pulled out of the talks called Tumaini Initiative. The leader of the IO, who is also South Sudan's first vice president, Riek Machar, says the protocol signed on Monday is a copycat of the 2018 peace agreement. Port Both Bulong is Machar's spokesperson. He confirmed that members of the SPLM-IO withdrew from the Nairobi talks.
Yesterday, the political bureau of the SPLM-IO sat to discuss the protocols that were signed under the Tuamini Initiative in Nairobi. And the political bureau has resolved that to withdraw our members due to our concerns, because on the 6th of this month, the SPLM-IO political bureau has sat and narrated concerns on the Tuamini Initiative.
The Tumaini Initiative that was launched late May, going into June, was aimed at bringing on board holdout rebel groups and other stakeholders who were not part of the 2018 peace agreement. And it's my understanding that the SPLM-IO went to Nairobi to attend the Tumaini Initiative as part of the Artigonu, the Revitalized Government of National Unity. If you say the SPLM-IO is recalling its members, you are literally saying the Artigonu is withdrawing from Tumaini Initiative. Correct me if that is wrong.
Well, we don't represent the entire Artigonu. We are part of it because the chair of the delegation is an IG member, and also the deputy, and so on and so forth. Because we have only three members, we have withdrew them as withdrawal from SPLM-IO for the delegation. It's clearly indicated that we are not part of whatever that will be signed in the Tuamini, because it came to our attention that the sole purpose of the Tuamini Initiative is supposed to be a complementary process to bring on board the holdout groups to the current peace process.
6 years down the lane, you have been in Juba implementing the 2018 peace agreement, and no progress is registered so far. All the SPLM-IO will do is, when they are defeated, they run to the media to cry. Now, the Tumaini Initiative is trying to offer an alternative solution for speedy implementation of the agreement. Why are you against it?
The question that should be asked, why there's no progress in regards of the implementation of the RRs? The answer is two. One is the lack of political will. If the SPLM-IO were the pen holder, would have been talking now as a member of a new government, you know, considering if the SPLM-IO or when the SPLM-IO win the election. But the reasons that our access is not implemented is there are two reasons. One, as just mentioned, is the lack of political will. Second is the resources. The pen holder of this agreement is not the SPLM-IO. We are doing our part, and the reasons why we are vocal always, because we believe the people of South Sudan should know what's going on in regard of the implementation of the peace agreement, because this agreement is not for the political elite. The main stakeholder of the peace agreement, we believe it is the public or the South Sudanese people.
To the best of my knowledge, SPLM-IO is represented in all the mechanisms that are implementing the 2018 peace agreement. If you are represented in the mechanism, what kind of political will are you talking about? I should ask you, why are you not having the political will to implement the agreement?
Well, that's a good question. However, the political will are not generated from you know, being in the mechanisms. The political will is something that will be demonstrated on the ground in all different levels of the institution of the government. We have demonstrated our commitment to the full implementation of the peace agreement. However, some parties that signature the agreement, they have been continuously violating the agreement in a way to show that they are not committed to it. This is what we have been talking about. This is what we've been talking about. It's not about being part of an institution or being part of the mechanisms. We believe...
But if you're part of the mechanism, you should be fighting from inside as opposed to crying outside. Because I'll give you an example. Your deputy chairman is the deputy speaker of the Legislative Assembly. Recently, the National Legislative Assembly passed the National Security Act. I mean, instead of IO lobbying and building coalition with the parties in the House, you run out and cry and say, oh, the government is doing this, SPLM IG is doing this. Isn't politics about playing around and building coalitions? If you are a minority, you build coalition with others so that you can match the majority. So political will is another animal, but the reality on the ground appears like the SPLM IO is not mature at the game.
Well, Mr. John, unfortunately, the SPLM IO did not hold the resources of the country, and they are not misusing the resources of the country, you know, to play their cards according to the party's interest. As you mentioned, the parliament process, this is not the first time that a bill or a law has been passed, even though we believe as an SPLM IO this is not the way to go.
Politics is about numbers. Democracy is about the will of the majority. And I've heard SPLM IO speaking on several occasions that you want democracy. You want a plain level fail. But if you're only 100 in the parliament, the majority voice will speak and not your voice, because democracy is about the majority, the will of the majority. As much as you want to argue that the government is having resources, SPLM IO has no resources, and you are trying your best, you are the best kid on the block, your back is against the wall.
You know, politics is not an easy ride. There's the challenges that we have decided, and we are determined to overcome all the challenges. We're not talking about the SPLMIO doesn't have resources, but we said the SPLMIO, they are not misusing the public resources for their interests. This is what I'm saying. Secondly,
I would want to remind you that the spokesperson of the SPLAIO was caught on camera discussing deals about timber. Timber is the resources of the people of South Sudan. If you say you're not misusing the resources of the country, what was your spokesperson doing on camera discussing deals about timber? Let's set records correct.
Well, that case, as you're referring to, the SPLMIO has conducted an investigating committee, and the results of the investigation is very clear that there was a setup against the OS spokesperson by the Ugandan journalist. And when we talk about the misusing of resources, we talk about the oil resources and so on and so forth. So what I was referring here, that is, we as an SPLMIO, there's rules, and the agreement is guiding us. So whenever the agreement is being respected, this is where that we can expedite the process of the implementation of the peace agreement.
That's Port Both Bolang, spokesperson for the South Sudan's first Vice President Riek Machar. He spoke with me from Juba earlier today. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, politics in the United States takes shape. Find out how and why after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America, and our words of wisdom for today comes from Yei County in Central Equatoria State. Take a listen.
Good evening, dear listeners of VOA, that is South Sudan in Focus. My name is Musema from Bidibidi Zone 5. My proverbs is basically in Kakwa, which says, Nyesimugu kudangalisa joru, which literally means, enjoy yourself when you're still young, because you don't know what tomorrow brings. Thanks a lot.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. U.S. voters are assessing the impact of Saturday's attempted assassination of presidential candidate Donald Trump. As VOA correspondent Scott Stern reports, they are considering what the shooting means for the country.
Take a look at what happened over.
Donald Trump's shooting shocked a nation deep into a divisive political campaign. Delegates at the Republican Party's convention here in the Midwest state of Wisconsin gathered to pray for their candidate and said the shooting will only make him stronger. Harrison Musselwhite is from South Carolina.
It's made all of us, including President Trump, more determined to fight and win. President Trump has the same spirit that Winston Churchill had. We'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight them in the cities. We'll fight them in the streets. And this time we are going to fight and win.
Wisconsin voter James Hauser says there's no place for violence in American politics.
People have their own opinions. Nobody should get shot over their own opinions. I mean, that's why we vote, who goes in. I mean, we have to stop shooting people.
Missouri voter Amy DeClue says Trump surviving the shooting broadens his appeal.
Every time something happens to him, I feel like it solidifies his win even more. So he's kind of reached legendary status. He's gone through all of these things and he just keeps on going.
In New York, voters interviewed by VOA were troubled by what the shooting means for American politics.
Like most normal people, I was horrified. It's something that should never take place in America. We should be better than that. Both sides need to be better than that.
Talk out your differences. Talk out your differences. There's no need to try to kill people over them.
I'm not a President Trump fan. Joe Biden all the way. I just think that both sides need to just tone it down a little bit. It's not worth anyone losing their life over political views.
The shooting at a Trump rally in Pennsylvania shows the need to lessen political tensions, says Tennessee voter Laura Bager.
I think that we need to lower the rhetoric and the anger. Why can't we just talk to each other? There is so much of everybody ramping and amping everything up. It's just, it's crazy. And there's just no reason for it. We need unity. We need to start talking to each other. Speaking with each other, listening to each other.
Pennsylvania voter Kristen Billett says the shooting shows the need for more security.
It's sad that it happened because innocent people died, but I feel that more security for everybody right now until things calm down a little bit.
Back in Wisconsin, Dawn Goodman believes Saturday's violence will shift American politics.
Regardless of whether it was Biden or Trump, I mean, like to try to assassinate a president, it's just wrong. And it's in the long run, he's a human being, whether it was Biden or Trump. And the people that got involved in, you know, the shooting behind Trump, you know, that's a family that, you know, needs our prayers and thoughts as well.
The Trump and Biden campaigns have both toned down some of their rhetoric since the shooting, with Trump telling the New York Post that he has rewritten parts of the acceptance speech he'll give here Thursday night to focus on bringing the nation together. Scott Stearns, VOA News, Milwaukee.
President Joe Biden addressed black supporters in the battleground state of Nevada Tuesday, his first campaign appearance since the assassination attempt on his Republican rival, former President Donald Trump. He linked the attack on Trump to racial and gun violence, imploring Americans to condemn violence in any form. White House bureau chief Patsy Widakwaswara has this report.
Striking the right note to win an election after an assassination attempt on a rival? That's the challenge facing U.S. President Joe Biden.
We all have a responsibility to lower the temperature and condemn violence in any form.
Speaking in front of black voters in Las Vegas, Nevada, Tuesday, he did that by linking the shooting that injured Donald Trump in his Pennsylvania rally Saturday with violence perpetrated against African Americans, including George Floyd, who was killed by a white police officer in 2020, and to victims of gun violence, calling to reenact a U.S. ban on assault weapons that expired in 2004.
An AR-15 was used in the shooting of Donald Trump. This was an assault weapon that killed so many others, including children. It's time to outlaw them. I did it once, and I will do it again.
The shooting inflicted only a minor injury to Donald Trump. The former president and Republican nominee arrived with a bandaged right ear Monday at his party's national convention in Milwaukee to a raucous welcome. For Biden, whose weak debate performance last month triggered questions about his age and mental acuity, the assassination attempt on his rival adds an additional layer of complication, said University of Chicago's political scientist William Howell via Zoom.
You've got to, on the one hand, allay concerns about his fitness for office. You've got to create separation from the opposition, the Republican Party, which is enjoying a moment of ascendance. And you've got to call for unity and to disavow political violence. And to do all those three things simultaneously is extraordinarily difficult for anybody.
Currently, Biden lags behind Trump nationally and in various swing states, including Nevada. Aiming to win black support, Biden contrasted his policies with his rivals. He mocked the term black jobs that Trump often uses.
Folks, I know what a black job is. It's a vice president of the United States.
Biden repeated calls for Americans to treat each other not as enemies. Trump, uncharacteristically subdued after the attempt on his life, has also called for unity. But many expect the calm to last only temporarily, with campaigning set to intensify following the party's political conventions. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News, Washington.
The U.S. Republican Party put some of Donald Trump's inter-party former enemies briefly back in the spotlight on the second night of its nominating convention. VOA's chief national correspondent Steve Harmon was on the convention floor Tuesday and has details from Milwaukee.
The official theme of day two of the Republican National Convention, Make America Safe Again. It could have been Republicans All Play Nice Again. Donald Trump's former foes in this year's party primary took turns issuing messages of unity.
If you want to seal the border, vote Trump. If you want to restore law and order in this country, vote Trump.
Besides entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley also put aside her previous policy differences with the former president.
I'll start by making one thing perfectly clear. Donald Trump has my strong endorsement.
During this year's primary battle, Haley was Trump's last challenger. The U.S. ambassador to the United Nations during Trump's administration had attacked her former boss as unfit and unelectable. Delegates from Haley's home state, such as Jerry McDaniel and Robin Hawley, prefer to look ahead, not back.
It doesn't matter who ran against him before. President Trump is bringing them all in together, and that's what we want to see.
Do you think Governor Haley has her heart
totally into this Trump 2024 campaign now against President Biden?
I think if she is a person that I think that she might be, because I don't know her, I think that she's got some forgiveness and some motivation to move on and to keep us together and to help our country.
Other former Trump opponents from this year's primary and those from the past addressing the convention Tuesday included Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, Marco Rubio of Florida, former Housing Secretary Ben Carson, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis.
My fellow Republicans, let's send Joe Biden back to his basement and let's send Donald Trump back to the White House.
Some of the former and future presidential hopefuls praising Trump here tonight might be seeking to court his favor and that of the delegates 4 years from now, as a Republican victory at the top of the ticket in November would give Trump his second and final term. Steve Herman, VOA News, at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
That's all we had on our menu for this Wednesday, July 17, 2024. We now leave you with the song Tutu Party by Emerson. We have been listening to Emerson and the song Tutu Party. Emerson is actually singing in Pidgin, you know. There's one saying in Pidgin which says, shine your eyes well, which means be careful. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Adrius Ridges, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember, Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.